had a rich man come running up to me one time. I was on my way out of the sanctuary. He didn't kneel before me. He didn't call me good teacher. He didn't call me good preacher. And he didn't say good sermon. And he did not ask me what he needed to do to inherit the kingdom of God. He, in fact, came running up to me to not ask me anything. He instead wanted to, I suppose you might say, teach me, enlighten me. He offered to me what he believed was the correct, or at least a more correct, understanding of this encounter between the rich man and Jesus. His feeling was, Jesus did not mean that we had to sell everything we own, and he did not mean a literal camel and a literal eye of the needle. The eye of the needle, he explained, was a low gate into the ancient city of Jerusalem that required a camel to be unpacked in order to get through it. Have any of you heard that before? Some of you have, right? Kyle, you didn't raise your hand. You haven't heard that one? That was actually, that low gate thing was actually something that an interpreter of the 9th century came up with. Archaeologists have since discovered there was never any such thing as a low gate called the needle. Jesus was talking about a literal camel and a literal needle. Now, I don't want any of you to get me wrong. I really love it when people come running up to me after worship to engage me about what they heard during worship. I like that. Don't stop that. This rich man, or we'll say a man of many possessions, which is more what the text says, this man in Springfield, Ohio, was simply doing what people have done since that 9th century interpreter who came up with the idea of the low gate. He was avoiding the elephant in the room. Our possessions, our wealth, these things become the elephant in the room. That difficult topic that we all are aware of, but none of us wants to talk about, these things become the elephant in the room as soon as Jesus says, sell everything you own, and how difficult it will be for the rich to enter heaven. So, like my friend in Ohio, most of us like to tease around this text a little bit. Maybe shrink that elephant down to about the size of a camel. And the bad news is, while a camel is smaller than an elephant, it's still too big to get through the eye of a needle. So we still have a camel, and it's in the room. And Jesus has pointed it out to us. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Sell all you own and give it to the poor. Because it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a person of wealth to get into heaven. I don't know about you, but this stirs up a lot of questions for me. Just how wealthy is wealth? Am I that wealthy? How many possessions does it take to become a person of many possessions? Do all those books on my shelves count as too many possessions? Is my piano one too many possessions? Does taking a nice vacation count as a possession? Does my grandma's china count as too many possessions? How many of you have your grandma's china sitting in a china cupboard untouched? Except for maybe once or twice a year, right? And then to complicate this even more, there's this thing called the Global Rich List. I found it online. And it tells me that if my household income is about $25,000 a year, that would put me in the top 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. It would take the average worker in Indonesia 33 years to earn $25,000. If my household income were $40,000 a year, that's about a nice kind of middle range. In fact, I looked up here in Kalamazoo, that does put you right about in the 50% range. Household income of $40,000 a year puts you in the top 0.57% of the world's wealthiest people. If that's your income, you could buy a can of pop, not soda. You could buy a can of pop after just working for 2 minutes. A laborer in Ghana would have to work 7 hours to earn that much money. Now, I could go on. There's obviously, it gets scarier the higher our incomes here in the U.S. go compared to world incomes. And of course, the reality for us all is that we do live here in the United States, where cost of living is different, lifestyles are different, and so on. So most all of us don't feel like we're maybe in the top 0.57% of wealth. The vast majority of us need to budget and plan carefully to get through each month. And at the same time, we know that God's perspective is not simply on our households here in the United States. God's perspective is global. So while there are hungry children in Ghana and hungry children in Kalamazoo, we are still left to wonder, could I be a camel? Now, if wondering about our possessions and our wealth gets us feeling ill at ease, we would fit right in with the storyline here in Mark. Because you see, everywhere else in Mark's gospel, where a person runs up to Jesus and kneels down before him, it's to request healing. It's to request healing. Lepers, people who are possessed, people whose children or spouses are dying. This is who comes running up to Jesus and kneels at his feet. That's who comes and seeks help. But here we have this man, a faithful Jew who has kept the commandments since his youth. Someone who has gone to Sunday school and worship every Sunday. And this man comes running up to Jesus knowing that something is still amiss. He comes running up to Jesus like every other leper and diseased person to seek Jesus' help, to get his advice. And Jesus looks at him and loves him and offers the cure. Writes him the prescription for his illness. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. So apparently, at least according to Mark, being a person of many possessions is some sort of illness. It is something that brings us dis-ease. So I've been trying to figure out what that looks like. Here in the U.S., just to take our own little place here, the goal in the U.S. culture is to be self-sufficient, right? We Americans pride ourselves on being self-made individuals. We work hard to acquire an income and a lifestyle that allows us to have no need of others, that allows us not to have to be dependent on charity. In the United States, we think most highly of self-sufficiency, and we tend to look with skepticism, pity, and sometimes even disdain on public dependence. You see, what happens with this dis-ease of having many possessions is that before we know it, we have lost touch with one of the most basic elements of our humanness. Something that was present from the very dawn of creation. Our need for, our dependence on community. Remember that in Genesis, we actually just heard this last week. In Genesis, God creates us human beings to live in mutual, equal relationships with each other. It is not good that humans should be alone. Yet, wealth, many possessions, privilege us to live in the nice neighborhoods and not have to live in the not so nice neighborhoods. They allow us to send our kids to schools that are the good schools and not have to send them to the not so good schools with maybe metal detectors at the doors and things like that. We get separated by income, by possessions. Because with wealth and our many possessions, we are self-sufficient. We are self-supporting. So Jesus calls this man, Jesus calls us back into community, back into relationship with our neighbors. That's his prescription, his offer to heal this sincere person seeking the teacher's help. Get rid of that which is setting you apart. Sell off that which is keeping you from living in community as you were created to live. 2,000 years after Mark wrote down this account of Jesus, this account of the encounter of Jesus and that person with many possessions, we still grapple with how much wealth is too much and how many possessions are too many. I think it's a good thing to grapple. It's tough. Jesus did not give us any answers to this. The one thing we can be certain about, though, is that as we grapple, as we struggle with how much is too much, how much do I really need, Jesus looks at us and loves us. So this is a sermon with homework. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward now. And the inspiration from this homework, for this homework, comes from a person that I knew in graduate school who was from Kenya. And he ruined my coffee drinking choices. How many of you have ever drunk, or when you've gone to the coffee shop, seen Kenyan coffee, right? Well, this friend of mine told me that in Kenya, you can't find coffee on the shelves in the grocery store because it gets all harvested there, but it gets sold over here to the West because the profit is so great. So he kind of chided me that while we so casually go through the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts and get a coffee or run into Starbucks or Panera or wherever it is, that doesn't happen in Kenya, where that coffee comes from. So we're handing out these FRB bags. Next Sunday is FRB Sunday. We're handing out these FRB bags in the hope that perhaps this could be one thing you might sell off. Instead of going through the drive-thru for that cup of coffee, put the money in the bag. Now, maybe you're not a coffee drinker. Maybe you're a chocolate lover. That's another one, though, that is not so hot in terms of how it is harvested. If you've ever looked that up, a lot of child labor and very corrupt practices in chocolate harvesting. What else can I ruin for you? The whole point here, if it's any consolation, I won't be drinking wine this week. So maybe it's a good thing I'm not preaching next Sunday. The whole point here is just like the man in our gospel lesson today who went away shocked and grieving. My guess is he didn't think he had anything that he could really live without, right? I want to invite us all to take this week and discover what it is that we take so for granted as part of our living that we don't even think about dropping a few bucks, whatever it is. I want to invite each of us to become aware of what that casualness is. Let it go this week. Give up that which you possess. And put that money in the FRB bag. Bring it back next week, and it can go with, along with your pledge to FRB. I don't know, maybe a week will make a difference for you. Just invite you to give it a try. I know there are extra bags, because maybe for some of you, if it's if you've got people living in your house who, and you're driving separate ways in work, maybe you can each have one in your car or whatever. If you have young kids, maybe your young kids would like to have one as well. But grapple with that this week and receive the look and the love that Jesus offers as we grapple with our possessions. Amen.